Shalom, Havarim, and thanks for tuning in to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan, along with my Lady of Excellence, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my darling, and blessings to you all as we begin a three-part series tonight on the church age of Revelation 2 and 3. Many of you have requested this, but first we really need to pray.
Abba, Father, no matter the circumstances surrounding your righteous ones, your word must be fulfilled is constant while offering hope and encouragement. You are still and always will be on the throne with your Son at your right hand. Therefore, as the bride of Christ, no weapon formed against us will prevail, nor will we lean on our own understanding, but rather acknowledge you in all things as we curiously but confidently watch your next act play out in this theater called life. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Well, no doubt we are in a spiritual battle for America. Mm-hmm. You know, as we said last time, it might take a few weeks to get our victory. And as of this morning, things are looking better. But there is no doubt, as President Trump suspected, some major fraud has gone on within our elections.
Well, no surprise there, since the Biden family is also called the fraud family.
Well, I hear you, but this is much bigger than the Bidens. We're talking some major illegal coordination and planning by quite a few corrupt, and I will say it, demonically influenced people.
That have no scruples.
But as you just prayed, we know God is on the throne. And actually, I can see many reasons as to why things are as they are. Like a wake-up call, judgment is very soon.
Well, you know, his ways are always higher than ours.
That's right. So either we trust him or we don't. And if you don't, it's a result of lacking faith. And where do we get our faith?
The word is the foundation.
More word equals more Jesus equals more faith equals more trust.
Yes, one builds on another.
So, stay in his word.
And fast and pray and just watch God.
Amen. And as far as the election, we know of about 10 areas of cheating.
Which area comes out ahead in your eyes?
Well, the large Biden dumps from the mail-in ballots is a big one. But even more so, it's the cheating software. Back in 2009, the new Obama administration acquired a powerful supercomputer system made by Dominion Voting Systems, and it's named the Hammer, which, amongst others, also includes an exploit application known as Scorecard, which is capable of hacking into elections and stealing votes. This revelation is according to a CIA contractor turned whistleblower, Dennis Montgomery. Remember that name?
Yeah, who actually designed and built the Hammer.
Yes, back in 2003. But it was intended only for foreign surveillance after 9/11 under Bush's Patriot Act. And Montgomery also worked for John Brennan and James Clapper, who in February 2009, again, under the Obama administration, moved the Hammer to Maryland and began using it for domestic surveillance, targeting Obama's political enemies for blackmail and leverage. And they say this Scorecard software was also used in 2012 in Florida for Obama's reelection. And we know it has been used again in approximately 27 states to steal the presidential election of 2020 for Biden.
You know, why didn't they use it on Hillary?
Well, maybe they were so sure they wouldn't need it, or if they did, it wasn't enough, but she did win the popular vote.
So who knows?
Mm-hmm. So I guess they still have to prove it was hacked. I think they will, which still should be in all our prayers. And one more thing, in December of 2015, Montgomery provided Comey's FBI and the DOJ under Loretta Lynch with sworn testimony about how he used the Hammer to spy on Hunter's 47 hard drives.
Yeah, and you know, they just sat on it.
Right. And by the way, they even spied on Justice Scalia, who was killed, and also spied on Justice John Roberts, which is probably why he has to take the side of the left so often.
Who knows what they have on him?
So, right now we are seeing a sophisticated coup against President Trump.
Like so many of their other failed attempts over the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Corruption at its finest as we watch evil wax worse and worse. I think scripture prophesied that would happen.
2 Timothy 3.
Right.
And lastly, how is Israel handling all this?
Well, very carefully, as Netanyahu did call to congratulate Biden, which kind of made me sick because, as we all know, Biden favors the Palestinians and a two-state solution.
Yeah, with East Jerusalem as their capital.
Which makes us wonder, is that why Biden might win?
To fulfill prophecy sooner.
Perhaps. But we'll deal with that scenario later on. But Israel is very concerned over what Biden will do with Iran, I can tell you that. Iran's very happy right now, and so is China.
Big time China.
Mm-hmm. But if this all gets turned around after Biden has claimed such victory and with all those celebrations in the streets and fireworks, I think there'll be some massive rioting.
Yeah, well, so the devil wins either way as chaos erupts.
Well, I remember watching Mafia Joe Biden when he said vote for him to stop the lawlessness because, in other words, if not, it'll just continue.
Which are the standard tactics of mobsters.
That is how they work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we very much welcome your end-time questions, either by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please tuck in a love offering to help with our many expenses, and may God bless you for it. As well, we'll add your name to the correspondence list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, containing a boatload of teachings, and all the past radio and instructional newsletters are also archived for your added learning.
That it is. Okay, now for the fun part as we focus on our real king. For the rest of this month, before we take our annual Christmas break, we will study the seven churches.
Yeah, you know, many don't understand how prophetic they actually are.
And we see all of us, his true believers, in one of those churches that we will examine when we get to it.
Yes, the Church of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia.
But first, we will follow in the order given to us.
The beginning Church of Ephesus in chapter 2.
Yes, and let me add that chapter 1 is the introductory chapter where John the Revelator, while on the Isle of Patmos, off the Aegean Sea near Ephesus, gives a very descriptive vision using 24 titles of Jesus, who gives John specific instructions to write down exactly what he will be shown. For your homework, everyone this week should read chapter 1. In fact, all three chapters at one sitting to get the true flavor of it all, so to better prepare you for next week's lesson.
This section of Revelation is important for the last day, Kristen.
Yes, and up to chapter 6. And then, of course, we can pick it up again in chapter 19 when we all return with him.
Amen to that.
Okay, so John is told to send the whole scroll to these seven particular and actual local congregations in Asia, which, when read in the order given, describes prophetically the entire church age.
Even to this very time in history.
And, of course, any of these letters can also apply personally to any one of us, as we will see in Ephesus. And we would actually be amiss if we didn't stress an important sentence in verse 3, right off the bat in the very first chapter, which says, if you read and really hear it, meaning with understanding, this book of Jesus' revelation, you are given an extra blessing that no other book in the Bible promises us. You should really think about that.
And repeats the same blessing in the last chapter, verse 7.
Because he is the first and the last. Also, chapter 1 includes those 24 descriptive titles of Jesus Christ. Also, you will see that each church has 7 parts. Number 1, an opening or the name. Number 2, a title of Jesus Christ, which gives the flavor for the substance, which is different in each letter. Number 3 gives a commendation.
With 2 exceptions.
Mm-hmm, and a criticism.
With 2 exceptions.
And number 5, corrections or exhortations.
Keep up the good work, basically.
Mm-hmm. And number 6, a call or closure. And then number 7, the promise with a challenge to overcome.
Okay. The first church is Ephesus.
As I said, Ephesus means darling, and prophetically covers the years around 32 to 100 A.D. And they started out gung-ho and then lost their first love of intimacy. You know that espousal love? We are familiar with Ephesus because Paul also wrote an epistle to the Ephesians to include marriage and love while comparing it to Jesus and his bride. Paul set up missionary headquarters in Ephesus, and later John returned there after Patmos, and it's then that John wrote his gospel.
So after he wrote Revelation.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Because it's just as mystical and organized with sevens, just not quite as obvious as in Revelation. Let me also suggest, for your added homework, to read Acts chapters 18 through 20 for a great added background on Ephesus, where Paul continues to warn of wolves that will come to draw them away from the true God. And 35 years later, Jesus Christ through John writes to the church at Ephesus that they passed that test,
but lost their first love.
Mm-hmm. Still, Jesus tells them he walks among them, and is glad they hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, because a ruling hierarchy over the people was beginning to infiltrate the church to assume more authority spiritually over the Christians.
Yeah, and even over God's word.
This becomes a real foothold later, as in bishops and eventually the popes. Now, we'll discuss the Nicolaitans more when we get to the church at Pergamos, but Nico means to rule, and laity means the people. So, rule over the people. Okay, now in Ephesus, they held on to traditional teaching, but lost their hunger to grow closer. You see, every part of your beings should be consumed with Christ, seeking out more of his truths in continual pursuit.
Well, you know, that's not what the Christian majority say.
No. Rather, they say, oh, God's cool. He understands me. He knows my heart. Yes, he does. But he also sees that many today have idols. They prefer TV, a secular hobby, sports, entertainment, or they are just plain lazy to spend time with him in his word.
It does say to redeem our time wisely.
Also in Ephesians, in fact, chapter 5, verse 16. So now back to Ephesus. The Lord tells them as a whole to repent, or he would remove their church or lampstand.
Yeah, and so he did around the 4th century.
Yes, it was destroyed by an invading army of the Visigoths under Muslim dominance. Okay, honey, please now read in chapter 2 about Christ's first established church at Ephesus, whose name is quite fitting, for it means, as I said, darling. And when studying it prophetically, lasted up to about 100 A.D. But let's begin reading for more clarity in the last part of chapter 1, as he reveals who are the 7 stars in Jesus' right hand and the 7 golden lampstands.
The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches.
So this represents the entire church age, which just happens to be in heaven in chapter 4, verse 5. Check that out. Therefore, it's before chapter 6 when the tribulation begins. So, FYI, and by the way, the word angel used in the beginning of every church in Greek is angelos, and it just means messenger. So, go ahead.
Okay. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary.
Those are the compliments. So here comes some criticism that we can all personally relate to.
Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Now, we will see at the end of each letter, he uses the phrase, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That phrase is totally absent after chapter 4, which, of course, we call the rapture chapter. In fact, later in Revelation 13, verse 9, John says, if anyone hath an ear, let him hear.
Period.
No church is addressed after chapter 4. And to me, that is more confirmation we are just not down here for his wrath. Period.
What about the overcomer?
Since Scripture interprets Scripture, and that's proper hermeneutics, please read 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5.
For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
So, are you an overcomer?
That would be a yes.
So you cannot lose your salvation if you are saved. That makes you an overcomer. But Jesus says, keep that passion for him alive. It will benefit you mightily and increase your wisdom for all life's challenging situations. Next in order is the church at Smyrna, which you're going to have to read on your own. But here's the backstory for you. Prophetically, the age of Smyrna lasted about 200 years from 100 AD to about 312 AD. The name Smyrna means myrrh, the embalming spice. So it's pretty fitting, for this was the era of approximately 5 million Christian martyrs. Its location was about 40 miles north of Ephesus and considered to be the safest seaport of its time, with a booming economy, for it sat on a main trade route between Rome, India, and Persia. Now, Alexander the Great personally planned the city and called it the Ornament of Asia, with a large Jewish population, but many more pagan Greeks. Its main street was paved in gold, with the Temple of Zeus at the one end and another female god statue at the other. As well, archaeologists found the statue of Diana there, and we know perverse sexual worship centered around these gods, along with emperor worship in the Roman Empire. Therefore, Smyrna's real Christians were highly persecuted and used as scapegoats when they experienced some pestilence and plagues. because, well, they thought the gods were angry that Christianity was in their city. Sort of similar to the Jews throughout the ages. So in this letter, God has no correction for them. Instead, he told them to remain faithful, to overcome, and therefore they will not be hurt by the second death, which is hell. So Smyrna is still a city today, and it's now called Izmir. A little side note here, I find it revealing that the wise men gave the baby Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh, you know, the embalming spice, knowing of his death perhaps, you know, since they really were Jewish sages. But we read in Isaiah, when describing Jesus' return as king, he is given gold and frankincense. There is no myrrh. It's obviously not needed. Check it out. It's in Isaiah 60, verse 6. I also want to comment on verse 9 to the suffering church at Smyrna. Jesus says, I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Most historians believe this passage is referring to the descendants of Esau, called the Edomites, or in Greek, the Idumeans, who made Hebron in Israel their capital. And so it remained under Edomite control until Judas Maccabees and the Jewish army retook the city around 126 BC. So these Idumeans were forced either to be proselytized into Judaism, leave Israel, or die. This resulted in many Idumeans pretending to become Jews, yet really were not. Many were even promoted by the Romans, one as king of Israel around 37 BC named Herod. Thinking the Jews, well, they would accept them better than a Roman, since they claimed to be Jewish, even though they were proselytes. But all the Herods and so their descendants were Idumeans. They killed Jewish babies. Another beheaded John the Baptist. They killed James, the brother of John, Acts 12, verse 2. The Romans in 70 AD also renamed the whole area of Israel Palestine. Although they did think about keeping it called Idumea, but the connection to the Jewish people, well, I guess that was kind of offensive to them. So when the Jews left in the diaspora, you know, around 70 AD, most Idumeans stayed and took on the geographical name of the Palestinians. Remember, you take on the name of where you reside. Okay, again, we got to close here, but please read the seven churches for next week and also Acts chapters 18 through 20, and don't forget the first chapter of Revelation as well. But let me ask you, if you're listening, do you have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now. Jesus is your Savior who has totally paid your debt for your sins. Grab it while you can, for the night is coming. I must leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6, and it's the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, well, you're going to prosper. And that's Psalms 122, verse 6. So continue this week to pray for the election. Pray that it turns out in our favor. And maybe you could fast a little bit too. And we really need God's will to be done in the finality of all this. God bless you. See you next time.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.